We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go get it!
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman, our Green and Gold Insider, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, the one, the only Michael Cohen. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, we haven't talked to you, obviously since the Kyle Fuller debacle on Friday, or if it was or wasn't. Was this a right move for the Packers to sign him, and did they help out make things easier on the Bears? Because this all went down in a span of a couple of hours on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I think the way my colleague Tom Silverstein described it on our podcast this morning was pretty accurate, in that the move sort of seemed like it was a little bit of a desperation attempt by the Packers. You look at the cornerback situation in free agency, and pretty much everybody at the top of the market went really, really fast in a very short span of time. And I don't know if maybe the Packers were blindsided by that, or they just didn't expect things to, get as costly as they do for some of the other players. But, this was like, a last resort kind of thing in terms of all the top guys are gone. What can we do? Well, let's try and, sign a guy that's on a transition tag for somebody else. And in terms of making it easier for the Bears, they made the next deal for the Bears pretty affordable, in that, Kyle is owed, I think it's $15 million the first year, and it could be up to $29 million after the second year, but there's a way for them to get out of it going into year two if he has a terrible, terrible season. And if he doesn't, then it's still a pretty affordable deal based on what the top corner got this year in free agency. So, basically for an extra $5 million guaranteed, the Bears, locked up a corner for a long time. So in that regard, it was a very friendly deal for the Bears.
When they traded Demaryius Randall, the sentiment that I was hearing from people, which I warned against, was, well, they're doing this because they must be in on Richard Sherman. And then he signs. Well, that means they must be in on Johnson. But then he signs. It didn't seem like that they had a plan. They made that move without really a target at cornerback. And now that's kind of, you're seeing what you're seeing. As somebody who's a fan, Michael, I'm not jumping off a bridge because I think their cornerback depth is terrible right now, which it is. But they also made that move without having a plan, to me, which is why I further question the move that they made to get rid of a guy. I know that he was a problem for some, but he was still your number one corner up to that point.
So there's a couple layers to this. So he was, I think, more of a problem in the locker room than people realized. There were a lot of veterans in the room that had issues with Demaryius Randall. And so when you start having a conflict with the coaching staff, which was very public against the Bears, and then you have some of the veterans that are frustrated with him, and then you have him at the end of the year questioning the coaching staff again for, not holding players accountable, it was a situation where I think Brian Gutekunst probably just didn't want him around anymore, and maybe Mike McCarthy too, because of, some of the problems that he'd caused. So in that regard, I can understand why they moved him. The other layer to this, and I wasn't aware of this until yesterday, but then I went and read the articles, and sure enough, it's true. He had expressed a desire to move back to safety, and the Cleveland Browns introduced him as a safety. So he is not playing cornerback for them. He is going to try and be their starting free safety. So I don't know if he's gone to the Packers and said, I don't want to play corner anymore, I want to be a safety, or what the situation was. But if you look at the Browns' website and you look at everything, they introduced him as a safety, not a corner.
So the Packers probably didn't have any desire to move him to safety. Is that what you're trying to say?
if he told them that he doesn't want to play corner anymore, then he doesn't have a role on this team because they don't need him at safety.
Sure, sure. So where do the Packers go from here as far as defensive back? I mean, the House and some of those other ones we threw out there and all that, but are they in a hot water when it comes to that position right now?
Not quite yet. There's a couple of different things that they can do. First of all, they could always trade for somebody's number one corner at any given time, and we don't know, you know, we won't know about it until it happens. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they could make a deal tomorrow for one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and we just, you know, that'll happen, and everyone will say, oh, so they did have a plan all along, you know. But the other thing they can do is they can sign a couple veteran guys, Devon House being one of them that I think that they should bring back. And then they can use, of course, their draft pick, their first draft pick on a corner. They can move up probably toward the top 10 if they want to make a trade with somebody, given the extra pieces they acquired in the Demaryius Randall trade. And then you never know which other veterans are going to get cut. You know, Orlando Scandrick has been cut. Terrence Newman has been cut. I'm not saying those are the guys that are the answer, but you're going to start to see more and more veteran guys get cut as teams try and shape their salary caps going into next season. So they're not dead in the water yet, but it's certainly, time is certainly dwindling relative to what it was, you know, a week and a half ago.
Michael Cohen, Green and Gold Insider here, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. The Jimmy Graham contract sort of revealed over the last couple of days too. That looks like a friendly move where the Packers, it means essentially a two-year deal. They can cut him. There's a cap hit of about 3.5 after that third year. But this is a move where the Packers, in a lot of minds, maybe said, Jordy, no, Jimmy, yes. So they made that move. They miss out on a cornerback so far. They get Wilkerson. Up to this point, would you say this free agency period has been a success for the Packers, or have they left a little bit on the table?
I think overall it's been productive for them. I think that adding Jimmy Graham was an important piece because he's a wide receiver. He's not a tight end. So, you know, the spot that Jordy Nelson took on the field will be Jimmy Graham's spot. So you essentially swap those two, as you said. And it's a pretty friendly contract. It's actually, you know, it's actually a one-year deal. It's a three-year deal, you know, in total, but it's really a one-year deal because he has a roster bonus of several million dollars at this time next year. So the Packers could release him prior to this time next year, and they wouldn't have to pay him that several million dollar roster bonus. So it's really, let's see how you do this 1 year, and if you do well, then we'll pay you that several million dollar bonus and keep you on the team for 2019. And then the Wilkerson side, numbers on that I haven't seen yet, but you're adding a guy that has had a ton of pass rush ability from the inside, and now the Packers could arguably have one of the best defensive, you know, fronts in the league, right up there with, you know, Minnesota and teams like that in terms of their ability and the athleticism that they have up there. You know, obviously I think there's something left to be desired at the cornerback position, but I think, you know, clearing the cap space that they did and signing the two players that they did, those were positives for the franchise.
Yes, the Jimmy Graham deal, which you guys detailed this morning, it sounds like if the Packers want to get out of it after 1 year, let's say it wasn't working out, it wouldn't really hurt the salary cap or hurt them financially?
I mean, it would hurt them a little bit because there'd be some dead money going mm-hmm. into next year. But yes, it's essentially a one-year deal where if he doesn't play well, the Packers can release him prior to the start of the 2019 league year, and then they don't have to pay him the roster bonus that's due 3 days into that year. So it's essentially, you know, play well this year and we'll keep you around. If you don't play well this year, we might release you.
Michael Cohen, you can find him at PackersNews.com, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as well. Check out his podcast on Twitter, Michael_Cohen13. Mike, appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks, Mike. Have a good rest of your day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.